Anybody show up for a little bit of it? I was pretty impacted by what went on. I don't know if you were. But I believe that the Lord sends in people. You know, we titled this conference, we're Rocky and I and John. We have elders meetings with John over Skype on Thursdays, and we talk about these meetings and really felt, and then talked with Chuck too, and just what's the sense of the Lord. And the sense was the release of the Spirit. So we thought, okay, that sounds like a good title. And then something the Lord had shown us along the way through these prophetic conferences was build everything according to the pattern. That we should build according to the pattern of the Lord, and that He's building a house. It's not a house built with hands, but it's a spiritual house built in the heavens, of which you and me are living stones. We're being built into that house. But it's according to His pattern and according to what He wants, not according to what we want. So we bring these brothers up, and God imparts things. And we need to be careful that we don't reject the word of the Lord. And we want to be discerning, but we don't want to reject the word of the Lord that comes to us as a body here. And, you know, we have a long-standing relationship with Chuck. Not quite as long-standing relationship with Tom Fox. But I'll tell you what, Tom is a wonderful brother. Keith couldn't be with us this year. He's involved with some other things. But the Lord sent up the team that I believe God wanted for us this year. And it certainly was released. And after I talked to Chuck, and Chuck said, you know, I've been pondering some of these things, but I have never given that message before in that way. And, of course, both of them, I was watching them, they didn't have any notes that day. They were just kind of wanting to bring the word of the Lord. And I believe they did. I believe they did. So it's really up to us whether we act on that word or not. He's given us His heart. So I titled this message today, Spiritual Beings. And that's who you are. You know, when you become born again, you become a spiritual being. Not a natural being, but a spiritual being. And so that kind of leads us to the second part. Spiritual beings have spiritual behavior. Our behavior changes when we become born again. When we get translated out of this kingdom into the kingdom of Jesus, our behavior is going to change. Why? Because I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I've received the Holy Spirit, which now is leading me into all truth, of which we store this in our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit reveals something. I had a kind of a thought this week. Our soul. I was thinking about the Lord and the Holy Spirit and all that He wants to do. And I got this vision of like a pharmacy. And here's the picture. Our soul is like the warehouse. Our mind and all the stuff we can put in there is like this warehouse, and we bring everything into the warehouse. All these different things that are good, that'll help us, okay? Or it could be a grocery store, or it could be whatever. But it's the things that are needed for us are brought in. But the reason I picked a pharmacy is because the owner of that building, or the one that's bringing it in, the warehouser is filling the pharmacy up full of stuff. It takes at least two more people to distribute things out of there. It takes the doctor, And then it takes the pharmacist. And I was thinking that we have in us Jesus, who is the Word, and we have the Holy Spirit, who applies the Word. But we need to be careful that we are in tune with the one who knows what we need at the precise time we need it. And not just delving into everything when it's not the right time. Or when it's not what's prescribed for us. So, we really need Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us, along with the Word. But if you just pack all this in your mind, and then start operating out of your own strength or out of your own soul, applying this Word, you may not be accomplishing the works of God. You need to be led by the Spirit. And it's the Spirit in us that really guides us and leads us down a path of truth, down a path that's actually building everything according to the pattern. We cannot build by ourselves. We don't know how. We don't know. It wasn't up to the people. Moses got the plan, right? In the Old Testament, Moses got the plan. Well, guess what? Jesus has the plan. He's the master builder. So, all the people built, but Moses had the plan. But the Scripture says that Jesus got the plan now. He has the plan according to the heavenly building that we're being built into. Spiritual blessings. Father, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You're lacking, and we're lacking in nothing. He's given it all to us. It's not like He's holding back and saying, well, Steve, I'll give you a little bit. No, He's giving the church the whole thing. But the point is He's not going to allow us to be independent. Because I really desperately need the rest of the body. He will not let me have it all. He won't let Mount Zion have it all. We'll have a portion. But then and that's why we desperately need to be related to the body of Christ at large. And how do we get related? By the Spirit. It's not just through some organization. In fact, the more I'm in church, the more I'm saying we really don't need organization. What we need is to be led by the Spirit. We need to be connected to the head. But He's given us things. When you were born again, when you were transferred out of this present darkness into Jesus, it says the Father qualified you to do that. He qualified you through the Son and through the cross, through what Jesus took and put to death. When He died, all died. He qualified us. He opened up Himself. His flesh was opened up. And He qualified you through the shedding of His blood to enter into Himself. And what we call being born again, because He put to death the Adamic nature and gave you His nature. The life that was in Adam, and then there was a new life in Christ. The life in Adam was put to death at the cross. We enter into baptism, which is agreeing and saying the old man is dead. We're burying it. And then we walk in the newness of life, which we get from Christ. He became a life-giving Spirit. So we were born again when He came into us. We're a new creation. We're supernatural. Extraordinary. Remember when Keith gave that message? We're not ordinary people. We're extraordinary people. I think Bob even wrote a song on that. And it was something like that. Okay. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And I'm trying to just again lay some foundations here of who we are. Where are you seated? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. Is that true? In the first chapter it says God placed Christ and seated Him in heavenly places. Now it says you've been seated with Him in heavenly places. I mean, we can imagine that Christ has maybe been seated, but are you? Have you? I mean, by faith, can you say with all assurance, I am Steve Thompson, seated with Christ in heavenly places today? Can I say that with some assurance? Or is it kind of an iffy thing? I'm telling you today, you can say with assurance, if you're born again by faith, you're seated with Him in heavenly places, and it does not have to do with your behavior. It does not have to do because you haven't prayed enough or you haven't done this enough. By faith, you're seated with Him in heavenly places. He did that. What we do with that is in our faith. It's our faith in believing that leads us down a path of righteousness. I mean, God, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us down this path, but unbelief will keep us from taking another step. So we have to, and really my heart today is to help us see that we're spiritual beings with a spiritual purpose, with spiritual behavior. That's who we are. And I think the time is now. The time is now to stop playing any kind of church, for sure, and really be the body. Be the body. And it's not about coming to this building. It's about your relationship with Jesus, being His body. We assemble here so we can encourage one another, but the church goes on 24/7. His church is 24/7. So we assemble here so we can impart something. And that's my next verse here, Romans 1:11. When Chuck and Tom, we asked them to come up here, here's Paul saying this: "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you might be established." Is it important for us to be established here at Mount Zion? Is it important for you to be established in your house, in your home, in your walk with the Lord? I really believe that these two brothers came up here and they were doing exactly this. They were imparting a spiritual gift to us so that we can be established. Okay? Now, the gift that they were stirring up in us is the gift of speaking in tongues, which is very controversial in the church, wouldn't you say? Don Foltenhauer, I think it was Don. Can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was Don. He used to go to East Germany a lot. In the East German church, they said, you can have church any way you want it, but you will not speak in tongues. That's the one thing they forbade them to do in East German Christian church, was to speak in tongues. The government said that. Why is there such a resistance against this? Why is it such a controversial thing? I believe it's because there's something in the very fact of speaking in tongues that connects us, and that connects us with God. But let me tell you this, it's a process of disconnecting my mind and being led by the Spirit and not my soul. If soul is in charge, we're in trouble. But if the Spirit's in charge, we're in good shape. Now the soul, like I said before, is like a big warehouse. You can store the Word of God in there. But who's in charge of the warehouse? Is it the Spirit or is it me? Is it self or have I given myself over to the Spirit of God? Is it Him that is doing what we need to do? So we have now, as a church and individually, are we going to say that they actually brought something that was from God? Or were they just a Was it just another conference? Was it just another bunch of people? We have these things. Let's get back to normal. No, I don't want to get back. I don't want to shrink back. God's not pleased with those who shrink back. I believe that these two brothers, whom we invited up here, and I'm not saying there's all the conferences, and sometimes we let people use this building for conferences, but I'm talking about those that God has used for us to invite to come up here for us. I believe they've imparted something to us, and we need to grab onto that and not. And I'm not saying that that's the only thing out there, but God's stirring something in us in this area, and we want to see more miracles, more people brought into the kingdom. I think that this whole teaching that was brought, and might I say, if you weren't here at the conference, Tom Fox says, please, Steve, make sure everybody gets the tapes for Saturday night for sure when Chuck was speaking. Now, Tom actually put some meat on the bone Sunday morning. Okay, so I think I want to say, get them both, and probably listen to. I want to listen to them again. I haven't yet. But so let's take a look at another thing. Paul says to the Corinthians, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Well, I'm telling you, if something seems foolish, it would be speaking in tongues. How many of you had that speaking in tongues might be a foolish gift? Do you know that inside of you, there's the flesh and there's the spirit. And the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, it says in Galatians, so that you can't do the things you want to do. Well, if the spirit wants us, just think about that. If the Spirit is trying to encourage us to speak in tongues more and more, and the flesh says, whoa, hold on here. That's just a bunch of gobbledygook foolishness. I'm not doing that. The Spirit says, yeah, but it connects you with God. I get connected with God by reading the Word. Well, the Word's good. There's nothing wrong with reading the Word. But I'm telling you, God wants to take control of our soul. He does not want our soul in charge. Now, He knows what it takes for men to disconnect. And He knows that when He wants to use what's going on in us, it takes our tongue to do that. Okay? He wants control of your tongue. God wants control of your tongue. Okay? I really believe that. Now, one thing that was brought out at the conference, and I want to read this too. One of the first laws of interpretation is the law of first mention. What is when things are mentioned first and in the scripture? This is the first mention of speaking in tongues right here. This is the first mention in the Bible of speaking in tongues, and it wasn't by Paul. It was the first mention is by Jesus himself. He's commissioning the disciples. He's saying these signs will accompany those who believe. Okay? It's a pretty much a present will, not a if or could or maybe. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I mean, that's Jesus is saying this. He's commissioning us who believe. So, the first question you have to say, am I a believer? Is he talking to me? And I'm telling you, these first two things mentioned, they will cast out demons in my name. How many of you are looking forward to doing that? Is that something that you are really wanting to press in on? The next one, they will speak with new tongues. How many of you are willing and wanting, that's what I really want to do. There's been a resistance. Where do you suppose the resistance comes from? Against casting out demons and speaking in tongues. Now, you can read about Paul. He got shipwrecked on an island, and this snake or viper bit him, and surely he's going to die because on that island, that's a deadly viper. I was in Vietnam, and I didn't know about deadly vipers. But they had them in Vietnam too. I was sitting on a little hillside, and the lieutenant was right next to me, and this little snake come slithering down between us. I said, "Look at that little snake." "Who?" He said, "I think that's one of those deadly vipers." Well, it turned out that it was a seven-stepper. That meant if it got you, you get seven more before you die. Seven more steps. It was really a deadly viper. Well, I took my machete. I had a machete, and I hit it. And I picked it up at the edge of the machete. I thought I'd killed it, but I hadn't. But it was hanging over my machete. And Dan Selzhammer was a radio man. And he looked at it. He said, that's a bamboo viper. He said, it's very deadly. And he grabbed it by the tail and he put it into a can, a little canister, and he poked some holes in there. He nursed it back to health. And I said, "What are you going to do with that?" "Well, I'm going to send it back home." He said, and he was a zoologist back home. That was, and he thought he could send. So he packaged it up and he's going to send it to his mother. But he's going to send this letter ahead of time and tell her that this thing is coming. Well, it was about 2 weeks later, or not too long after, he was done in Vietnam and never saw him again. Well, it was about, I don't know, it's a few years back now, maybe 10 years back, I don't know. He calls me. He says, "This is Dan Selzhammer." And I got real quiet. I said, "How's your mother?" He said, "What do you mean, how's your mother? Last time I saw you, Dad, you were packaging up a bamboo viper and sending it to your mother, and I was wondering how she did." He said, "DOA."
Not mother.
No, the snake was... The snake was DOA, he said. It didn't make it. But it did, but it made it dead. But anyway, if in fact... And sometimes that can happen. And you'll drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you. These are promises. The first two are actually things that we do. And then right at the end it says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they'll deliver. Oh, that's something I'd like to do. Now that's one I think the body has said, oh, well, let's do that one. Let's pick and choose here. We'll do that one. But I think there's maybe some order. And I was reading Smith Wigglesworth. And he gets a call. This lady's sick. And there's two of them. And but Smith is one of them. And come over and pray for me. I'm sick. I need healing. So they get over there. Go up the stairs to their bedroom. And they walk in the bedroom. And Smith Wigglesworth stops. He turns around. He's going. The guy says, where's he going? He said, Holy Spirit said she's not ready for prayer. I'm out of here. Now, Smith Wigglesworth had some great success. And the one guy said, I knew someone that everybody he prayed for was healed. And then he said, but he didn't pray for everybody. You see, when you're leading and following after the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is current with what's going on. Then you can pray and you can be assured by faith. This is the Spirit that told me this. I got a witness in my spirit. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that told me to do this. We need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. The roadblock between you and the Spirit is right here. Right here. In our minds. In our minds. So I don't think we get to pick and choose here which ones we want to do. These signs will accompany those who believe. So what is the outcome? It says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit and I'll sing with my mind also. So we pray in the Spirit and we sing in the Spirit. Sometimes here we pray in the Spirit and we sing in the Spirit in our congregation. Now, like they said, you know, some people say, well, if you're doing that in church, it must be interpreted. Well, the whole thing is when you're praying to God, when we're singing in the Spirit to the Lord, the Lord doesn't need an interpreter. If in fact someone comes up here and starts giving a tongue to the body, that better be interpreted. And it will be interpreted, or they tell the guy to sit down and not do that. But when we're praying to God, whether it be at home or together, God doesn't need an interpreter. So when we prophesy in tongues, it needs an interpreter because that's to man. The tongue is the place where the Spirit can be released through us. And, you know, I did not know. When I was thinking release of the Spirit for this conference, I was thinking that we were going to come in and we're going to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and we're going to receive. But really, what God had in mind with the release of the Spirit was, let the Spirit out. Let Him be manifested in your presence. Let the Spirit use your tongue in prayer. Let the Spirit have control of your tongue. Wow. There was a release of the Spirit. The Spirit wants to manifest Himself in our presence, but it takes our willingness to let that happen. We receive the Spirit, but we can quench the Spirit. We can say, I don't want to do that. I guess we've done that. And the church has done that. The more you speak in tongues, the more your reasoning mind is bypassed. Do you know that when you speak in tongues, it says you're speaking mysteries. Just a little bit earlier, it says you're speaking mysteries of God. And then in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, consider us as stewards of the mysteries of God. Wow. We don't get to understand all that that goes on when we're speaking in tongues. It says the mind is unfruitful. I hate it when my mind is unfruitful. I want to understand what's going on here. And you know, I'm an inquisitive guy. That's why I got into science. I just wanted to figure everything out. Well, people that want to figure things out don't like to be in a place where things are not figurable. That's a new way of saying it. It took me a while, you know. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I didn't speak in tongues because I kind of wanted to, but then I kind of didn't want to. So I'm in my 51 Chevy pickup, driving down my Power Dam Road. I went out to look for a radio for it. I was going to fix this truck up, but no radio in here, so I had to just sing. And I was singing scripture songs because that's what we knew. And I'm singing away at the top of my lungs out there in that truck, you know, just driving along. And I'm singing, and all of a sudden I wasn't singing in English. Ho! Oh! What was that all about? And I just stopped and I started singing in English again. And pretty soon I wasn't singing, and then I realized what was going on. Oh, this is you, Lord. This is you. So then I just started singing in the Spirit. I just let it go. And and I've been practicing that ever since. However, it's been drying up in my life. Oh, when I get into tough times, I start praying in the Spirit because I don't know what else to say. And I remember that God knows how to pray through me. So I just start. But I think the Lord wants us to be doing this all the time. You know what? There's no effort to pray in the Spirit. You can be driving down the road. You can be vacuuming. You can be doing whatever. And you can pray in the Spirit. Chuck said at one of the meetings, he said, we sing songs and we're trying to kind of bring the presence of the Lord in. He said, instead of waiting for the worship team to get to the next song, sing in the Spirit. Between songs. He said, he used the example of a portage. He said, you got through one river and you got a portage to the next one, put your canoe back in. He said, instead of portage, just flow right across by singing in the Spirit. Between songs. Don't count on the worship team to do everything for you. Engage. And when I talked to him this week, he said, we really, and he was speaking to the worship teams, Bob, but he said, we really need to practice the song of the Lord more and more, more and more. So, and of course, Jesus says, And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony. Now, Tom Fox brought this same scripture out as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. He said, when I read the Gentiles, this is to everybody. But when they hand you over, do not worry about what you are going to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, I believe that He's speaking there. You're going to talk to kings. You're going to talk to them in English, or you're going to talk to them whatever language that is. Now, if you're very accustomed to letting your mouth be used by the Holy Spirit in tongues, and you're very accustomed to let your tongue be in the control of something that you're not, but letting the Spirit control you, you're going to be more apt at that point to let your tongue speak to you and let your tongue use English words right from the Spirit. Okay? It comes from the same place, and the Spirit will, when you're talking horizontally, the Spirit will give you spiritual English words right from the Spirit, but you have to have been practicing to let the Spirit use your tongue. If you have not let the Spirit use your tongue and been pretty much control of my tongue, which, you know, the Scripture says we should control the tongue. But it isn't speaking about that. And that's what I want to get to in closing. I felt like the Lord gave me something here. So let's go over to James. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. What have you thought when it said, bridle your tongue? Louis, we were talking in Sunday school about hobbling a horse, putting hobbles on there. But do you put bridles on a horse? Why do you put a bridle on there? So that the horse will go where you want it to go. I've heard of some horses that don't need to be bridled anymore. They're so in tune with their master, they can just go. They don't even need to be bridled. But the point is here James is talking about a man who does not bridle his tongue. Have you ever seen a horse bridle himself? I don't think that there's many men who know how to bridle themselves either. They need to be bridled. Your tongue needs to be bridled. It says, Paul says in Corinthians, you've been bought with a price. Your tongue is not your own. Well, it doesn't say your tongue, but that's part of you. You don't belong to yourself anymore. The Lord has ownership of you. And when a man goes out and buys a horse, that horse belongs to him and he can bridle it if he wants to. Right? He's starting to get the picture here. Let's go over to James chapter 3. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now we put bits into the horse's mouth so they will obey us. We direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by such strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, whatever the inclination of the pilot desires. Okay, so here we got us being either a horse or a ship. You can take your choice. Okay? But there's someone else that's going to bridle you if you allow it. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your tongue? Will you allow the bridle to come in and say, I don't get to do my own thing anymore? Because if it's bridled, then it's controllable. You can't control your own tongue. James says you try, and out of the same well comes blessing and cursing. When it says, he who bridles his tongue, it's really talking about, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit have your tongue? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit put the bridle in? Are you willing to be controlled? Are you willing to let Him direct you? Because if you are, it said then the whole body is controlled. He says that the tongue is so important that it's really the rudder that sets the ship. Our life, where we're going, what we're doing. But is the Holy Spirit in control of your tongue? And that's the question I ask myself. Is the Holy Spirit really in control of my tongue? Have I given it over? Have you let your tongue be bridled by the Holy Spirit? Or are you still in control? That's the question. That's the question. Let me read the rest of that. See how great a forest is aflame by such a small fire. This is just continuing on. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire a course for our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but nobody can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord our Father, and we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine tree figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. I'm telling you, our flesh, and if we keep control of our own tongue, we're going to be in trouble. We are going to be in trouble. We might think we're doing well, but we're not. And that's what I think he's saying in James about, will you be bridled? Will we give that control over to the Holy Spirit? Will we say, Holy Spirit? And I tell you, that's the battle that goes on. We don't want to give up control of our tongue. In fact, we would say that's foolish. I think that's God's little purpose. I think that's why we speak in tongues. Because it's the only thing that we can do that we don't get understanding of. And it's a way to release that part of our body to God. So that when we stand before someone and we need to speak a spiritual word in English, we're used to that. We're used to letting the Spirit have my tongue. It's natural. And you know what? That's a natural thing for a spiritual man. Spiritual behavior for a spiritual man is to speak spiritual words from spiritual thoughts. That's the natural behavior of a man who's born again. So here's a challenge for us. Will we let the Holy Spirit bridle our tongue? If so, will we allow the Spirit to speak through us in a new tongue every day? Will we allow Him to let us practice at home? Do it in your 51 Chevy pickup. It was real easy. You don't have to do it in front of everybody else. Practice alone, but let it happen. For those who believe will speak with new tongues. It's not an option. If we do, we'll be praying perfect prayers to God, first of all. And we'll be more able to speak in English by the Spirit. I believe that we can go someplace. Tom Fox says, if we as a church will set aside time every day to speak in tongues, you won't need to worry about evangelism because you'll be praying in your divine appointments every day. Divine appointments will be happening every day in your life because you're praying the will of God. And people will be met. The laying out of hands for healing will start to be manifested because we're not following our own thinking. We're being led by the Spirit of God. As it says in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So I just want to encourage us. I believe Chuck and Tom stirred up a gift in us to establish us as a church of God. I'm asking us to grab hold of that and to at least attempt to take a couple steps in that direction. If you're, and for me personally, I mean, I wanna do more. I don't wanna just speak in tongues once in a while. I can do that all the time. You can do that while you're shopping at Herberger's. No one needs to hear you. You can be doing that under your breath. It's not about volume. It's about doing it. You can do it all the time. A lot of times we're not conversing, doing anything. We're just working or putzing around. Well, putz around and pray in the Spirit. I mean, we can pray. You know, a lot of times I sit down to pray and I'm wondering, what should I pray about? I mean, a lot of times there's things to pray about. We have prayer chains and all this stuff that come. But sometimes we just don't know. Well, we start praying, and guess what else happens when that... I'm telling you, here's what else happens. You start praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the rest of the gifts start going. Reggie this morning said, Art Katz said, speaking in tongues is the lubrication for every other gift. Everything starts operating. Because when we're praying in the Spirit, God then starts revealing things to us. Prophecy starts happening. Everything else starts. That's why I think the first thing they did when they were filled with the Spirit is spoken tongue. They started communicating with God. And it was a unifying thing. So, anyway, I want to press on with us as a church. I don't want to get weird. I think you can misuse any gift, and I understand that. And you can start... But let's not throw out the gifts of God because someone has misused them. Let's use them correctly. But let's not use them. You know, and I just want to encourage you. You can do that. You can just let it flow. Well, they're supposed to be going to a funeral. I don't know. His aunt died, and the funeral is today down there. So, well, we could, and we can pray for Rocky and Kelly. You know, the point is it's not a legalistic thing. I don't want it to be a legal. I want it to be a heartfelt thing that we've caught a vision from God. Not because someone told you to do it, but because you've got revelation from God that this is really what Jesus intended for us. Not something that man has dreamt up. But I'll tell you, I believe the controversy in the church is because the devil doesn't want us to. I think that's what's really going on. Well, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you can take us down a path of righteousness. But Holy Spirit, we need you. And we thank you that you filled us with the Spirit of God in us, and that you want to take control of this tongue of mine and let it be used for your glory. And Lord, I refuse to let my flesh resist you any longer. And Lord, I want to be released in a proper way to you. And Lord, I want to give control. And if you want to really pray a prayer, just at least pray this prayer. Lord, I give control of my tongue to you. I give it to you, Lord. It's yours. This is your tongue, not mine. And use it for your glory in the ways you see fit. And Lord, when you said that those who believe shall speak with new tongues, that's what I want to do. I want to obey you. And Lord, if there's demons to be cast out, we're not a fearful body. We're going to do that. And Lord, we want to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But Lord, we want it all. We don't want to just say we're going to just pick and choose. We want it all, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And Lord, we do lift up Rocky and Kelly to you right now and just ask that you keep them safe on the road and give them safe journeying back for all the family down there. Lord, we just ask for your help there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You remember when Rocky was about 2 weeks ago, he talked about instant on. That's what he was talking about, instant on. We go down to Chuck's meetings, and he's got all these pastors down there. We get down there. Before the man gets up on the stage with his guitar to help him lead in worship, he said, let's spend 15, 20 minutes here praying in the Spirit. Praying, singing in the Spirit. We were just down there Thursday. Adam and I went down there, and it was. I mean, and then we started worshiping the Lord, and then things started being released in the people. So we can be instant on. You don't have to work speaking in tongues up. You can just do it. You can just do it, and it's not showing off or anything else. But when there's times in our church, and Bob, I really appreciate Bob. Sometimes he just starts leading us in the Spirit. Grab onto that. That's a time when we can sing together in the Spirit. And you know who brings unity in the body? The Spirit. The Spirit. Is that the bulletin today? Brings unity in the body. So there's unity that comes through praying in the Spirit too, because we're all praying according to the will of God. So, well, that's what I got for you today. And I'm done. Anybody else got something to add? Doug got something to add. There's the mic right there.
Well, I just feel that God wants me to come up here and stand in the gap for my son-in-law.
Amen.
And I would appreciate your praying for him. And he doesn't know the Lord. This last week he broke his ankle at work, and we don't really know what's all entailed in that. But I just feel the Lord is trying to speak to him. Father, I thank you for your love and your faithfulness to us, and I just pray for Aaron, Lord, that you might speak into his heart, open his eyes. Lord, he needs you, and at this point he doesn't really know that he needs you, Lord, so I ask that you would open his eyes and that you would save him, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for opening our eyes and helping us to see the truth. Lord, we love you. And we truly want to be used of you, and we want to help those around us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That the Holy Spirit brings up Aaron, keep praying for him. There's others, you know, that are out there, but it's an amazing thing what God does, and I believe that He's bringing the prodigals back home. We can trust that God is doing that. We had on Thursday, it was Chuck Porta's brother. He said it was his daughter, right? His daughter had turned on, something had happened. She got involved with some guy who's been, I don't know. It hasn't been a good marriage relationship. But all of a sudden, she's given over to me. Now she's starting to speak out things that nobody likes me, nobody. You know, it's just lies come in. But anyway, we can pray and we can know that God hears our prayers, and He will answer these prayers. And so, anybody else, something that as we close here?
Yeah, just, you know, and I might have even said this before, but I just feel like I'm supposed to say it about my brother Dean, that when I was in Winnipeg for 12 days in January, I walked into their house and it was like, ugh. There was a spirit of depression on the house that I couldn't even hardly bear. And my brother wouldn't even hardly talk to me. And then I realized, I'm not to take this personally, that it's a depression that actually I fight every winter. Also, it's a seasonal thing, but it's what the enemy takes advantage of, the darkness of the winter or something. But Dean, every January, me, every February. And speaking in tongues for me has been the answer, as it was a few days ago, to, you know, I was remembering Sabina Wormbrandt, Richard Wormbrandt's wife, who was stuck in a hot box in a prison camp in Romania. And she prayed and she sang and she did everything she could that she knew from the Lord to save her from the absolute despair that she could die in that hot box. And she said, and then I prayed in tongues, and that saved me. And the Lord delivered her out of that hot box. But my brother Dean was, over a year ago, he was here during the final meeting when Chuck was here, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we were all up here at the front. And so I asked him, I was there and I was praying for him about this depression this last month, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell him, are you praying in tongues? Because the Lord had given him a few syllables. And he went home and he looked it up that last year, and he just put the syllables in transliteration in English. And what came up was some ancient or obscure language that meant, I believe it was consecrated bread, was the words that the translation of those words. And I know we can't always do that with tongues, we mostly can't, but it was an encouragement to him. I said, use your tongue, just in your car, wherever you are, just start praying in tongues. And he came back to me a few days and he said, I've been doing what you said, and it works. It lifts off of me. And so I said to him, well, I've been praying some more for you, and I feel like the Lord said, music. Bring music into your car. Bring music into your life again. Come back to worshiping the Lord with music. And he said, next thing you know, you'll probably be asking me to sing in tongues. And he was being facetious. And I said, uh-huh. You know. So anyway, I've talked to him on the phone, and it's working. He said, well, please pray for me that I'll get more than three syllables. So.
This isn't so much about speaking in tongues, but just about that verse that talks about, like, eating poison and it won't affect us. And just thinking about, like, in our current culture, it's becoming more and more popular to eat organic, and, like, more of the reality of what happens with our food in this country is coming out. And, I mean, certain people care about it more than others or feel more concerned about it. But anyway, just, like, this past year, Sam and I did a home birth and stuff, and so just being, like, involved with kind of the natural community. And it's interesting, like, how much fear can be surrounding the food, like, for people who don't believe. And, like, thinking about, I mean, some of the things are kind of, I don't know, there's tons of documentaries out now, you know, about food and the problems with it and stuff. But just, or even, like, fluoride in our water, there's concerns about that. But anyway, that verse just talking about, for us who believe, to be eating or drinking or exposed to poison everywhere in this culture, it seems like you can find it everywhere, that when we do that in faith, the Lord is the one who keeps us healthy and who maintains our health. And so, though I prefer to give my money to those things because I sort of feel like some of the food stuff's a little unjust, but but either way, it's like, even if you can't afford that, whatever the food is that the Lord provides to you is safe and it's healthy. And so I've just been thinking about that even for myself. Like, when it's kind of a, I don't know, the more you know about it, sometimes the more it's like, ooh, I don't want to eat that. Or like, it can be a little like, ugh. But it's like, if we're eating in faith, we can really trust that the Lord makes the food healthy, keeps us healthy and safe. So anyway, I was just thinking about that recently.
I think, Kristen, that's why maybe one of the greatest prayers the church does is before we eat. I mean, everybody's hanging on to that one. There's probably a reason, good reason for that. Anybody else?